Good morning. This is, I have to say when I'm in Galilee, I've only been here twice in the last few years, but this is the highlight for me, being out on this sea and thinking of all the things that took place around here and on here, and it's almost overwhelming to me. In fact, when Jenny was leading in worship, just great is thy faithfulness, and I couldn't get through the song. In fact, I may not get through this, actually, because and in a few moments I'll share a few thoughts with you, and then we're going to turn the motor off, and I just want you to hear the waves lapping against the hull, and if there are any seabirds calling, and feel the breeze. And you know, Jesus didn't see all the buildings and the cars, and but he would have felt this and smelled this and seen this, and it's very precious. Okay, so just to keep it brief, because it's such a precious time, I'm going to read to you. Remember yesterday we were on the Mount of Beatitudes, and we know that Jesus, on somewhere over there, fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so we had the thought that, you know, when they gave him everything they had, then he took it, blessed it, broke it, gave it back, and I would assume that he would sit there with the baskets of pieces of fish and bread, and they would come to him, get a basket, pass it out, come back to him, get a basket, go back, you know, pass. So it was very quiet, very subtle, and just row after row after row, they were feeding 5,000 people. When everybody had eaten and they were so well fed, they didn't want any more, I think it must have hit the crowd, oh my goodness, Jesus has just fed us with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they began to riot. And so they wanted to make him king. They wanted to force him to be the king that we know he is, and he will be at his second coming, but what he had done for them was overtaking who he was. He wanted them to know him, and all the miracles, you know, in the Gospels are signs. They were pointing to something he wanted to do for them spiritually. So he wanted to feed them the bread from heaven, but they wanted the literal bread so they didn't have to work anymore. So they were rioting, and so at that point, and there are so many different accounts of this, but immediately, and this is Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He wasn't going to succumb to their time frame. It wasn't his Father's time for him to declare himself. So when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain himself to pray. So somewhere up there he went and he spent all night in prayer. When evening came, he was alone there. But the boat, he had put his disciples on the boat on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the sea, and it tossed in the waves, for the wind was contrary. So sometimes, you know, they weren't outside of God's will, right? Because Jesus had put them on the boat, and the boat went right into a storm. Sometimes God allows you to be in storms, and it's not a sign that you're out of his will. So all of a sudden your finances erupt. All of a sudden your church splits. All of a sudden your spouse walks out. All of a sudden you're diagnosed with cancer. That doesn't mean you're outside of God's will, that you've done something wrong. Sometimes he allows us to be in the storms, okay? And he put his disciples on the boat. He knew a storm was coming. And he put them into the boat and headed out into the storm. The other companion passage says that he was sitting there on the mountain praying, and he was watching them. He saw them in the storm, and he saw them straining against the oars and against the waves. And I thought, you know, God can put us on a boat, send us into the storm, and he's watching us. He never takes his eyes off of us, but he lets us strain for a while. And I think one reason is that he lets us strain because he wants us to come to the point that we know if he doesn't help us, we're not going to make it. If he doesn't come through, we're not going to be saved. If he doesn't resolve our finances, we're going to go bankrupt. If he doesn't heal me, I'm going to die of this disease. If he doesn't do something in my marriage, it's going to break apart. And he lets us come to that point of desperation where we can't turn to our lawyer, we can't go to our mother, we can't go to our backdoor neighbor, we can't go to the doctor. We can go, but there's no help there. And all we have is Jesus. So he lets us come to that point of complete desperation. And then it says in the other gospel that he made as though to pass them by. So why in the world, he's seen them from where he is, he's been watching them, he knows they're straining, they're in his will, in the middle of the lake, in a storm, and he comes and he walks across the water to them, and he acts like he's going to walk by them. And you know why? He wants them to call out to him. He wants them to pray. And sometimes when we're in desperation, we can complain, we can murmur, we can, instead of just saying, Jesus, save us. Jesus, help me. So they cried out to him. But at first, they cried out in fear because they thought he was a ghost. And immediately Jesus spoke to them. Peace, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. And when you're in a storm and you're desperate and you cry out to him, open your Bible, okay? Because he will speak to you through his word. How many times God has come to me through his word and given me something that immediately gives me comfort and immediately reassures me. He's been watching me. Hebrews 7:25 says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for you. And I was reading this morning in my Bible that he sends his angels to encamp around us so that we have angels all around us, and they camp there. They don't come and go, okay? So he is with you. He's around you. The captain of the Lord's host is right there. And you cry out, and he can speak to you at that moment through his word and give you comfort and give you peace. But then Peter said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And I just love Peter, you know? I mean, all the other disciples, just so thankful Jesus is coming. Peter's just, whoa, let me do this. And so Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So can you imagine him standing on the boat and then slinging his hairy leg over the side, putting his sandal down on the top of the waves and the, you know, the white caps and the undulating waves, and he walks on the water, Peter. That's an amazing thought. And then he takes his eyes off Jesus and begins to sink. And what does he do? Immediately he cries out, Lord, save me. And immediately, it says immediately, right away, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. And he said to him, oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt? And I don't know, I'm sure he was speaking to Peter, but you wonder, was he speaking to the other disciples in the boat who played it safe? You know, they were in the boat and they weren't going to leave their comfort zone. And did Jesus grab Peter and look at the other disciples in the boat and say, oh, you have little faith, why'd you stay in the boat? Why didn't you come out here and experience something exhilarating? And I'm assuming, I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm assuming that Jesus and Peter walked back on top of the water into the boat. I mean, I don't know if they swam, but it doesn't say. But just to give you a word of testimony, but just to get this across to you, is about 20 years ago this year that I felt very burdened for women. And I felt like I would go participate in women's meetings, women's conferences, and all you ladies will understand what I'm saying, but so many of them are fluffy, they're experiential, they have door prizes, they have fashion shows, and I thought, you know, women can be disciples. We don't have to have all this kind of stuff. And I felt like we, as women, were longing to be disciples and grow closer to the Lord. So anyway, I wanted to start arena events for women that would take them deeper in their relationship with the Lord, wake them up. So I tried once and the door slammed on me because I refused to charge. I tried twice and the door slammed on me because people thought I would fail and they didn't want to be identified with me. So the third time I said, Lord, and this was like over 3 years, I said, Lord, either take away the burden or give me a platform. So I won't go into the details, but he opened the door for me to start Just Give Me Jesus. And I remember when I was praying, Lord, do you really want me to do this? Because if you get out of the boat and walk on the water and he hasn't called you, you're going to make a mess. And I would drag down my ministry team. I'd destroy myself, my reputation. So I said, you have to tell me if you're calling me to get out of the boat for the third time. And the next morning when I opened my devotions, this verse was in it. And it said, Ann, you can come. Come join me. Come out of the boat. Come walk on the water with me. So I climbed out of the boat, started Just Give Me Jesus, pulled the team together that he helped me with. Our first one was in Knoxville, Tennessee. My revival chair was somebody who raised enough money to undergird the first revival and then enough money to roll over to the second one in Dallas-Fort Worth. And then we broke even every revival, did something people said we could not do, but we did it. And Vicki Bentley was the office manager for our fifth revival, which was in San Diego that year, and we did that for 12 years. Broke even every time except New Orleans right after Katrina and Moldova and Ukraine and Uganda. But other people came alongside and helped us. And so I can tell you something. I don't want to play it safe. I don't want to somebody, I don't want to be a pew warmer, a pew sitter, somebody who goes to church on Sunday and sings the songs and prays the prayers and reads the scriptures and then Monday through Saturday just lives like everybody else around me. I want to be a disciple. I want to be all out. I want the thrill of walking on the water and discovering what God can do in and through me if I'll just abandon myself to Him. And that's my challenge to you all. Maybe God allows a storm to come into your life because He wants you to come to that point of desperation, because you cry out to Him and you'll find out what He can do and who He is in the midst of a storm. So when hard things come, you just call on Jesus. He is there, He is with you, and He may let you go through, He may let you die of cancer, He may let you, your spouse walk out, He may let you go bankrupt, but He will be there with you and He will teach you in the middle of it. And the important thing, you know, I won't be teaching this trip, I don't think I may, but John 11, Mary and Martha, Lazarus got sick and they said, Jesus, would you come? Or they sent word to Him and He didn't come. He was silent, He was still, and Lazarus died. And 4 days later, Jesus shows up and Mary and Martha said, if you had come, our brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, Martha, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. So sometimes Jesus lets us go through the worst thing that could happen because He's going to take us through, and there's going to be a glory on the other side. That's the story of the cross. You know, the worst thing that could possibly have happened in all of human history, all of humanity, but there was glory on the other side. It was the resurrection and our redemption and our salvation. So He may let you go through storms, but He's watching you. He's attentive. His angels are around you. He's going to guard you and keep you. And if He lets you sink, He's going to be there to catch you and give you a word that will give you peace in your heart, even while you're in the storm, and teach you, grow you up in your faith. His purpose for Mary and Martha was not to make them comfortable, healthy, wealthy, prosperous. His purpose was to grow them strong in their faith. Martha, if you would believe, you'll see the glory of God. Do you believe? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe. And He said, then roll away the stone and let's see what God can do. So I'm going to ask if we can just shut off the motor and just be quiet? And I'm going to ask you for about 10 minutes. Is that okay? So don't talk to each other. This is just your quiet prayer time. I don't mind if you come up here or you go around, but this is just for you to hear and experience the presence of God in this place. And if you're in a storm, talk to Him about it. Ask Him to speak to your heart. And just remember, He walked on this water. He prayed from those hills. He watched. He ministered disciples. He showed them how to fish on the lake. And just experience this moment. So I'm going to lead us in prayer for a moment, but one of the things that came to my mind was early in the morning, and Peter had taken some of the disciples back fishing after the resurrection. I think they were going backwards. They were going back to their old way of life. They were going back to fishing. Fishing wasn't a hobby. It wasn't pleasure. It wasn't a pastime. That was their job. That was their work before Jesus, and I think they were going back. Early in the morning, the mist was on the lake, and they saw somebody, and he said, have you caught anything? And they said, no, and I'm sure they were cursing under their breath. We've been out here all night, and we've fished all night, haven't caught a thing. And the man on the shore said, then throw your net on the other side. And I'm sure they would want to argue. We've been fishing both sides, front, back, sideways. You know, they're not biting, but they threw the net on the other side and they caught so many fish they couldn't pull it in. And John looked up and he looked through the mist and he said, it's the Lord. Peter threw on his cloak and he swam to shore, and Jesus told him to bring the fish, and he already had fish he'd caught, I guess, and they were baking on the coals, and then he added theirs, and then he said, Peter, do you love me? 3 times he asked him, do you love me? Because Peter had denied him 3 times. And so he was just helping him go back and heal those memories of failure and denial. And Peter, if you love me, then you'll serve me. So Lord Jesus, we come before you now on the quietness of this lake. So many memories just from the Gospels of what took place here. And we sense your presence in this place. I feel like we're on holy, sorry to say holy ground, holy water. And we know you love this place. You came back to this place after the resurrection, and you chose to live here through your 3 years of ministry. So we love being where you were And we love being where you are. And Lord, I'm just asking that you look on us now. Each one of us. You see exactly where we're straining. You see exactly where we're lazy, apathetic, complacent. You see whatever situation we're in, whatever our attitude, whatever the condition of our heart, and I'm asking, dear Jesus, that you take every single person on this tour and call them to discipleship. If they love you, if they love you, if they even like you at all, that they would choose to abandon themselves. Stop playing it safe. Stop living in their comfort zone. Get out of the boat and see what they can do if they make themselves available to you. Lord God, I thank you that at this age, I can look back and give testimony after testimony after testimony that you'll use the little bits that we give you when it's everything, and you'll use it for your glory. You'll use this to feed others. So I ask, please, your blessing on everyone who's on these boats, whether they're on the tour, the staff, the people running the boats. Bless us, Lord. If you don't bless us, we won't be blessed, because all real blessing comes from you. So we ask you, bless us this day as we go to Capernaum. Bless Pastor Ray as he leads us. Bless us at Magdala. Bless us just all along our journey today. Keep us safe. But most of all, we ask that you walk with us, that you speak to our hearts, that you take us by the hand, and you say, come, follow me. I'll make you a disciple. We pray this in Jesus' name, the one who even the storms, the winds, the waves still obey. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.